We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Danny Parkin Show Flashback.
I am very excited about this. He's a diehard Bills fan. He's been in basically everything you've ever seen. Bill Fichtner.
I'm just a guy from Buffalo. What are you going to do?
Are you happy as a Bills fan with Josh Allen? You finally have a quarterback, Bill.
You know, I work on this show, Mom, now. And our showrunner on it is a gentleman, Nick Bakay, who you probably know. And Nick is a Buffalo guy. And we were just talking about this today. It's a lot of fun to watch, especially for a Bills fan. And I think for a football fan. So am I happy? Oh, yeah. The only thing that bums me out is that we're not there and I can't see him.
And the crowd is in celebration mode. They're dancing and singing and jumping around here in Orchard Park.
You mentioned that your showrunner is also a Bills fan. Have you guys on set considered putting each other through tables?
I know. No, Nick's a little larger than me. I think that could really like damage me.
Championship is at stake.
Oh my God!
Zeros on the clock, 17 points for the Bills, 3 for the Baltimore Ravens, and the Buffalo Bills advance to the AFC Championship game, first time since January of 1994.
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
So excited about this. It went above and beyond our expectations when he was on just a couple of weeks ago, that we were like, you know what, let's shoot a Hail Mary and see if William Fichtner wants to come back on and talk about his beloved Buffalo Bills, maybe tell a couple more stories. And he was like, yeah, I would like to do that because they're in the AFC Championship game. So joining us now once again on The Score by way of the Albemonte Ford Hotline, Albemonte Ford in Melrose Park, Bill Fichtner on The Score. What's up, Bill?
What's happening? Listen, we need to this should be a weekly thing.
We got time.
We got time. Well, we got football this weekend is what we have.
Yeah, I mean, listen, your team is it's not that they came out of nowhere, but they have gotten so much better as the season has gone on, Bill. Like did you think they had this high of a ceiling this soon with Josh Allen and that offense?
Well, I think just what you said. I mean, as the season went on, the one thing that we thought right away when the season started off was, you know, Josh picked it up, man. Josh is a great, he's, you know, developing quarterback, a potentially great quarterback. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, wow, his accuracy rate went up like 10 points. And that's, you know, so as the season went on, it didn't drop off. You know, he maintained that. And so he got more confident, better, the whole team. But, you know, the addition of, like, Diggs coming in this year, and, you know, we all know a little bit about his unhappiness being with the Vikings. But now we've seen the interviews of Josh and Diggs after games. I mean, watching those two guys, they look like brothers. And I'll tell you something, it makes me happy because you can tell these guys, they love being on the field together. And it's not the bickering Bills of 1990. It's a whole other deal. And you're right, the season has progressed. We've watched the team come together. They have some ups, they have some downs, but you know what? At the end of the day, they're winning these games, you know, and that's the proof is in the pudding, right?
No, it is. It's been crazy to watch, and you know, the thing is, there's some similarities here because in Chicago, you know, it's cold, it's windy. Historically, when the Bears have had good teams, it's been they run the football and have good defenses and that sort of thing. And a lot of people are like, ah, the Bears are never going to be able to throw the ball. Well, then there's Western New York and snow and it's freezing cold. And you're going five wide and just slinging it all over. It's like the Bills are a dome team with that offense. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And how about the winds whipping around out there during that
the Ravens game.
Ravens game? Every once in a while, they'd show the flags up on the top of the stadium. And, oh, those things were just, like, ripping off. But you know what? It's – you know, the other thing that happened with the Bills this year is, you know, Beasley, you know, had an amazing season. And all of a sudden, we got a couple of rookies out there. Gabriel Davis, who's fantastic, and Isaiah McKenzie and these guys. And all of a sudden, Josh Allen, he just, you know, we always hear about a team's like, oh, yeah, he's got a lot of weapons. Well, he's using a lot. And a lot of these guys, we don't even know their names. because they're rookies, but it's Josh's game, and he's very comfortable being out there. And I was just saying this to a good buddy of mine, Tony from Buffalo, literally like minutes ago, I hung up with him. I said, Tony, I got to go. I'm calling Chicago. But he was saying that, you know, this year, if there's one thing more than any other thing, it's the maturity of Josh Allen. You know, he's now flying out of that pocket. Not that he can't do stuff when he gets out of the pocket, but when he's in there, he hangs in there just a little bit more. It's making a big difference. And he's got people to throw it to, even when it's windy. I don't know what the weather's going to be this weekend in Kansas City. I hear potential rain. Is that what you hear?
Yeah, it's supposed to not be great, but I don't think that for the guys like with Mahomes and Josh Allen with their strong arm, like unless it's like 25 mile an hour or more winds, I don't think anything's going to slow them down and make them run the ball.
No, if Buffalo has a little bit of a weakness right now, you know, Moss had surgery and, you know, out of Utah last year, a rookie. I like that guy. He's explosive. He's really good. He's strong, powerful, compact. He's out. So we got Singletary. And we have a couple of other possibilities, but, you know, it's not like, you know, I think the Bills against the Ravens was the first time in a playoff game in the NFL that a team did not run the ball in the first quarter.
You yeah, know, it was insane.
Yeah, we just got out there and was like, no, we're going to throw the ball because, you know, we just don't have that strong of a running game right now. Let's see what happens this weekend.
We're talking to character actor Bill Fichtner here on The Score about his beloved Buffalo Bills. All right, so paint the picture. You got your friend Jerry in Buffalo, or John in Buffalo, whatever you just said. And like,
yeah.
So like during this game, are you alone? Are you superstitious? What's your like Bills Mafia at home experience?
All right. So I don't know if you ever heard of beef on wick. It's a sandwich. It's real popular in Buffalo.
Sure.
The roast beef sandwich on a Kemmerwick roll. It's a big deal. The best place to get it in Buffalo is Charlie the Butcher. He's got a nice shop down on Worley and Cayuga and Chickawaga, my hometown. So I put my Charlie the Butcher's apron on the other day making some beef on wicks. And, for the first playoff game. Well, we won it, so you know what I'm going to wear last week. So it's all pressed. I got my Charlie the Butcher apron, and I will have it on this weekend. I sit down in my man cave in the garage. My 18-year-old boy, big Buffalo Bills fan, he's upstairs with the missus, Kimmy, and that's the way we do it. I mean, literally right before kickoff, my son will say to me, Dad, get downstairs now. So I get it. I'm down in the garage, babe. It's where I like to be. People come and visit, but I'd rather be alone, you know?
That's amazing. So your son is a Bills fan. They're playing for a trip to the Super Bowl, and you will not watch it with your son out of superstition.
No, I can't do it. He tells me. His name is Van. He's like, Dad, downstairs, now. I like being down here. I like being, like, solo and, you know, down in the garage. It's just, you know, if I freak out, I do it by myself. And I can hear him yelling up there. I don't know. Listen, I'm not the first twisted sports fan in the world, that's for sure.
No, but it's nice to know that no matter what stature you can reach in life, you could still be a crazy sports fan. Like, sports is the ultimate unifier, Bill. It's what unites us.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
So if they do win, and there, I saw, you know, that there's going to be like 20,000 fans at the Super Bowl in Tampa, and a great percentage of them are going to, you know, frontline healthcare workers who have been vaccinated as it should. But will Bill Fichtner pull some strings and try to go to that Super Bowl?
Well, you know, it's really hard to do that because, you know, while I'm working on the show right now on Mom, let's put bottom line is this. I don't want to be the guy to come to work and like test positive. And I'm just super ultra careful right now. I'm so grateful that we're actually doing the show. And in Southern California right now, especially LA County, you know, the numbers are insane. So, we really shouldn't, you know, or we're not allowed to fly domestically. So, it's just not the time. And you know what? I got my rhythm going on. I got my Charlie the Butcher apron on. I'm going to be in the garage.
No, that makes sense. That's the way to go. What would Josh Allen, would he go up onto the same level as Jim Kelly, or would he surpass him? Like, would one Super Bowl for Josh Allen put him above the all-time great who went to four Jim Kelly in your mind?
I have a feeling that Josh Allen would probably say this, and he would probably say, oh, no, Jim Kelly's Jim Kelly. And, you know, that was a different era and a different time. It's been a long time. I mean, think about, what is it, 27 years now? Since 93.
Yeah.
And it's another generation, and we're just so happy that we got this guy now. You know, the other thing, too, is, you know, I have younger nieces and nephews. They don't really remember as much about those early 90 years, you know? There's a lot of kids, you know, that are football fans now in their teens, early 20s. They don't remember that. They've heard about it. What they know right now is Josh Allen. And, you know, as you see, and you know, on a million reports on that, he's an amazingly humble guy. And he's the real deal, you know, as far as, like, you know, a person. And that's what they know right now. And his, yeah, it's very infectious the way he's just such a down-to-earth soul. It's just pretty electrifying for the people of Western New York. I'll tell you, it's just so much fun to talk about it.
Well, yeah, and I got to say, you know, we talked about it last time, but so I went to school at Syracuse in upstate New York, and so I met a lot of Bills fans and spent a little time in Buffalo and driving through and going to Toronto and all of that. It's just one of those sports cities where, and I don't mean this disparagingly, but, like, there's not that much else to do. And so there's so much civic pride in the Sabres and the Bills. Like, I consider it one of the most diehard, best sports fan cities in the country.
Oh, it's pretty amazing. I mean, listen, there's so many things to do in Buffalo. You can go up to the parking lot and do donuts on the weekend. on the ice, you know. I think this is actually true. I think Buffalo and the surrounding, like, metropolitan area and everything, I think when the stadium, when people could go, not this year, obviously, but last year, I think when the stadium's packed, which it always is, I believe that's one in every, like, 12 people of all of Buffalo and suburbs is at the game. It's some stat like that. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, the support is amazing. How about the Bills Mafia? Come on, let's talk about these guys. They're just so – they just keep doing stuff. You know,
they're
you've
insane.
Heard about the thing with the Ravens, right, with Lamar?
With, you know, with the charity?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, and this
incredible.
Is not the – they did this when Josh Allen's grandmother died. You know, by the time that game was Saturday night, by Monday night, they had donated over $250,000 to that charity that Lamar – you know, on his, you know, Lamar's charity in Louisville. And it's just amazing. And I know a lot of those Bills Mafia folks are heading down to KC. And, you know, obviously not a ton of them, but we're going to hear them because when 6,700 of them end up in Western New York and Orchard Park, everybody's talking about, like, we can't believe it's that loud.
Yeah, you know, it's like 10 for one. Like every fan there, they definitely created a buzz during that Ravens game. But I got to say about this Bills Mafia, like, okay, shotgun in the beers, cool, jumping through the table. You got to light the table on fire? Like, that seems like maybe one step too far in the name of fandom, at least for me.
You know, let's see. Listen, I'm just starting to adjust to, like, you know, people, you know, taking their shirts off and getting sprayed with ketchup and mustard. I don't want to be that guy, but, you know, I can appreciate it. Listen, Buffalo is a cold weather climate, and when people get together, Buffalo is never short on figuring out how to have a good time. I mean, that's just it. The bars close at 4 a.m. in the morning. Buffalo knows how to have a good time.
It certainly has. What's the craziest thing you've ever done in the name of fandom?
You know, I'm probably doing it right now during this playoff run. You know,
the sandwiches,
like, you know,
and isolating
I mean,
from yourself.
I'm sitting down here. I look like Aqualung. It's just... I don't know. I'll have to think about that, but I'm just excited, and I just can't wait. I hope Patrick plays. You know, that's the other thing too.
They announced today he's playing. They announced he's playing.
Yeah, I'm, and I think he should. I hope so. You know, that's what you want. It is pretty exciting. You know, right now these two games coming up this weekend, kind of in a way, you know, interesting to see Brady in there against, you know, the year that Aaron Rodgers has had and to see, you know, I don't think it's anybody to shock to anybody that KC is back there. Way more of a surprise that the Bills are there. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Listen, after last weekend, I mean, you saw that. I never saw a player looked so disoriented and rocked like Patrick last week after that play. He was wobbly on the knees. But obviously, you know, it's pro football, and it's big time, and this is the AFC Championship, and I would expect that he would want to be in there, and I'm sure they want him there too.
Yeah, they said he's playing today, said he cleared all of the things in the concussion protocol, and I'm with you. It would not feel right if it was Josh Allen against Chad Henne. I'd much rather have be Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. A couple things here with Bill Fichtner before we let you go. When we had you on last time, we had such an amazing response from the audience, and one person in particular reached out, and we're like, okay, if we ever get a chance, we got to follow up with him on this. The best pitcher on the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox, is Lucas Giolito. His mom is Lindsay Frost, the actress, and she reached
out. No, you're kidding.
We are. I'm not kidding. She said, you need to ask Bill Fichtner about our relationship on As the World Turns. So what can you give us on Lindsay Frost, Lucas Giolito's mom?
Oh, that's just right. Now, that is not a name that I've Lindsay. So here's the deal. So I get this job on As the World Turns. It's like in the late 80s. And I play Josh, the misunderstood farmhand. And so, you know, they put me together with like kind of like the Goody Two Shoes, this character of Betsy, played by Lindsay Frost. And I'm like the dark seed that's come to town. And she was amazing. And that was my entire like first year when I was on As the World Turns, was kind of falling in love with the character of Betsy. She's absolutely beautiful, super talented. And I can't think of the last time I saw her. I worked on something with her, but boy, that must have been about 20 years ago. But I can't believe that. Wow, that's something else.
Right? I mean, I would imagine, does that happen to you fairly often? Like, where you're like, man, I forgot that gig, but it's a blast from the past when it kind of gets mentioned. I'd imagine you've done so many things that has to happen fairly frequently.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's always, you know, lovely. I mean, I have a great time on just about anything that I do. That's kind of my nature to when I work on things. But, you know, life goes on, you know, been fortunate enough to work on a lot of things, and some things you just plain forget, and then somebody comes up and tells you a story one day, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you remember that, and you triggered my memory on that. But Lindsay's super great, and that's her son, right, on the White Sox? Wow.
Yeah, he was he's their ace pitcher. He's their number one starter, all-star. He had a no-hitter this past year. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. So, yeah,
wow.
It's pretty cool.
Wow, that's great.
And then the last thing that me and my producer were like, you know what? We should have gotten to this last time. We both played a ton of Grand Theft Auto Vice City because we were just, you know, those kids in that age range. And is the voiceover work for a video game as good of a gig as it seems like it would be? It feels like it might be the best job in the world.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story. So I haven't done many of them. I remember when I was living in New York and I got an offer to play this part in Vice City, right? I think it was the second one.
Yeah.
And San Andreas, was that what it was called?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But anyway, and I'm like, what's Vice City? What is that? So somebody had to explain it to me. I'm not a gamer. So I went in and the guys that I met doing it, a bunch of these Brits, really cool guys, and I had a great time. And actually the one after that, I did a little bit on it. You know, it was fun, and it just, you know, went through the whole thing. We had a good time. So then fast forward about, maybe like 15, 20 years, and I get this call to go, hey, you want to play the lead in this Call of Duty, Black Ops or something like that, one of those games. Another, again, not a gamer, so don't even remember the name of it.
Sure.
But playing like some character called the Sandman or something. So I said, oh, that's pretty good. Anyway, let me tell you something. It was a decent paycheck. I'm like, wow, that ain't bad. And they said, yeah, you know, we shoot it in like five days. And I said, great, 5 days in a row. They said, no, you got to do it over like a month and a half. I said, well, why? Why don't we just, you know, I'm off next week. Why don't we just do it? So I go in for the first day, and I'm about to explain to them, hey, guys, why don't I just shoot the whole thing this week? They said, well, let's just get through the first day. Let me tell you something. Stand in front of that mic and start screaming, get down! At the end of the day, I couldn't even get a word out. I needed 1 week to get ready to go in the next week. Just when your voice was healed, you went back again the next week and then did it all over again. Well,
so,
anyway.
A big paycheck, but you earned it. You earned that paycheck.
I really earned it.
All right. Well, Bill, this was amazing. Our audience loved it. Let's do this. If the Bills win, you want to come on before the Super Bowl?
There's no doubt about it. We're going to have to talk about it before the Super Bowl. So all I'm going to say is this. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
All right. Our guy.
You got it.
He's our Buffalo Bills correspondent, Bill Fichtner, on the Score. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. See you later.
All right. There he is. You know him from The Dark Knight, Black Hawk Down, Crash, Armageddon, Entourage, Vice City. But on this show, he's a Buffalo Bills correspondent. Great stuff. We go to Kansas City, Tampa, and Green Bay next on The Score.
It starts with a whistle and ends with a gun. 60 minutes of close in action from kickoff to touchdown. It's called pro football.
Touchdown, Kansas City! A remarkable acrobatic scramble. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
The men who play it are the best there are. Disciplined professionals who perform on a stage 100 yards long.
Watson survived. Checks down to Jones. Jones inside the 40, inside the 30, inside the 20, to the 10-yard line. Tywan Jones, Deshaun Watson, magical, 34 yards.
When the drama begins with a slap of leather in the song of Men in Motion.
Lamar Jackson, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens. Lamar Jackson with the spin, the sprint, and the score.
I mean, that's Michael Vick in 2004.
This is pro football. The sport of our time.
Chant of go Pack go as Rodgers up to the line of scrimmage for what should be the final snap of the game. He drops to a knee, and that will do it. For the fourth time in the last seven seasons, the Packers punch their ticket to the NFC title game. Packers 32, Rams 18.
So we just talked to Bill Fichtner about the Bills. Here we go to Green Bay, Kansas City, and Tampa. We start with the Packers, and we're joined by our teammate from the Big Show, 1250 in Milwaukee, Leroy Butler, with us on the Score. Leroy, thank you so much for the time. Before we get to, you know, this little pesky NFC Championship game, I hear you've got a vodka out, my man. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it's hard to even find it. It's fans are great. But I think for the most part, if you're going to tailgate, we want you to do it safely, responsibly. But absolutely, if you go to any store pretty much in Wisconsin, you'll be able to get it. So I'm very excited.
All right. Well, people should check that out. Obviously, these teams are very close in terms of a lot of numbers. Like, what do you think is the proverbial, you know, call it cliche, the key to this game in such a close matchup?
Well, I call it the GOAT versus GOAT Bowl. I mean, you know, the greatest of all time quarterback arguments is always who has the most Super Bowls in it, say who's the best pure quarterback. So that's the debate. But put that to aside. I mean, if you have to think about the reason why the Packers did not go to a Super Bowl last year, they could not stop the run against San Francisco. I think for the most part, they cleaned that part up. And if you're Tampa Bay, the only reason you have Tom Brady there is to win a Super Bowl. You got everything else. I know Antonio Brown won't play, but he didn't play the first time when they played after week six when they won 38-10. But the one thing about Aaron Rodgers, when he left Tampa last year after the sixth game losing 38-10, he looked back real slowly, looked back at that stadium and said, I'll see you again. So it's come that time to do that. And your top players obviously have to step up in these championship games. I played in a few of them, and that's where you earn your money.
Is this the best football that Aaron Rodgers has ever played?
Well, I tell you what, boy, that second MVP, he was flawless. But now he's platinum. I mean, if you just take away, you know, the touchdowns and interception, put that to a side, but this guy was, not only was he accurate, but if you look at the drops, I bet you he had 10 touchdowns dropped by guys. They're wide open, nobody around, and they dropped it. He probably could have had 60 touchdowns. But to maneuver the offense, to go from last year 14th, I think they were 14th, 23.8 points, to number one. I mean, that's truly amazing because of the run game. He's the best play-action quarterback. When that running game is going well, and that's the reason why they were able to dismantle the number one defense, the Rams, last week.
Talking to Leroy Butler about the Packers ahead of the NFC Championship game, you mentioned the run game. They're, I believe, ninth in the NFL this year running the football. How much of a – is that Aaron Jones? Is that Matt LaFleur? Like, what is the reason for the improved balance with the Packers offense?
I think it's the offensive line. I mean, because remember, they went through a lot of injuries. Think about it. David Bakhtiari, all-pro, future Hall of Fame left tackle. Most teams, when you lose your left tackle, it's devastating. But Billy Turner, a guy that, you know, when they brought him in, a lot of Packer fans didn't know a lot about him. But he's been very valuable. He's played all positions except for center. So they put him at left tackle and put Jenkins back at guard. Now you got a great left side. Once they're doing everything in their power to get that first step together, it has to be synchronized, like synchronized swimming. Now the three backs can pick their hole and stay with the run. I mean, if it gets 2 yards, 3 yards, stay with it. Sooner or later, you're going to get what you want. And that's MVS or Lazard wide open. Because you know about Devontae Adams, they may double him. But, you know, Tampa's so arrogant at times, they won't double Devontae Adams. They just think that their linebacker, White, which is amazing, we think he'll get to the quarterback before you throw it. So Aaron, which he's been doing, if he gets rid of the ball on time, which he will do, then they're going to do some damage on this defense because they take a lot of chances.
Last thing with Leroy Butler on the Packers. If they lose, what will the reason why have been? What's their biggest weakness?
I don't even think like that, man. You ask me that, fun, but I'll play along this radio. I'm just having fun.
It would be because
if Aaron threw another pick six or two and Aaron Jones get 10 carries and they have a lot of drops. On the flip side, if they're able to run the ball with Fournette and Jones, there's a recipe because we've seen it last year. So if they can avoid those things and something fluky happened on special teams, they could lose if those things happen. So, but for since week six, they haven't been doing those things. They've been winning, to be honest with you, in spite of their special teams not being very good.
Leroy Butler, The Big Show, 12:50 in Milwaukee. Enjoy the game Sunday. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thank you so much. Anytime. Take care, buddy.
All right. There he is. That's Leroy Butler. Let's go to Kansas City.
The Chiefs are going to host the AFC Championship game for the third consecutive year. That has never, ever, ever happened in the history of the AFC. And the Chiefs, we will monitor what will happen with Patrick Mahomes in the concussion protocol, but the Chiefs hold on to beat the Cleveland Browns and get a playoff victory in the divisional playoffs. They are moving on, beating the Browns 22-17.
Joined now by the Afternoon Drive host, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, ahead of the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. Carrington Harrison with us on the Score. All right, C-Dot. Pat Mahomes might not be 100% with that toe. We're expecting him to play. We got the news earlier today. I assume that makes all the difference for the Chiefs in terms of you're expecting him, if he's out there, he's going to be good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no expectation that you're going to be fully healthy at this part of the season. You played 20 weeks of NFL football. The head injury, I think, is going to be separate, but I don't really look at that as being a factor in Sunday's game. The toe injury, I do think, is somewhat significant. Now, I think Mahomes is going to play through it, but is he going to have the same mobility? Is he going to be as elusive as he normally is? Is he going to feel comfortable planting on that fit foot and doing Patrick Mahomes-like things? That's a question I don't think any of us have the answer to until we see them play, but I do think the toe injury is something to monitor.
How much does it matter that Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Sammy Watkins should be good to go on Sunday?
I don't really think that both of them have a significant impact on the game, as odd as it may sound. With Sammy Watkins, he has been a great postseason player for the team, but in the first or the last week against the Cleveland Browns, we saw Mecole Hardman with 4 catches for 60 yards. If you can get that same production, I think you'll be perfectly fine. Darrell Williams, their third-string running back, filled in nicely for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, had 13 carries for 70 yards last week against the Cleveland Browns. You certainly would like to have him, but I would point out the injury to one of their corners, Bashaud Breeland. He's in the concussion protocol. Everybody's focused so much on Mahomes, understandably so, but not having Bashaud Breeland going up against a first-team All-Pro guy in Stephon Diggs, and one of the best, if not the best, slot receiver in Cole Beasley, I think is something to track.
So is that the biggest vulnerability, as you see it, for the Chiefs in this matchup with Buffalo?
this is going to sound really arrogant. I don't really think that Buffalo does anything at an elite level. Like, I sort of look at Buffalo as being a diet version of Kansas City. I think Kansas City is just clearly better than Buffalo at really every point on the field. I think Kansas City's coach is better. I think their quarterback is better. I think their offense and pass-catching options are better. I think Kansas City's defense is better. I just think that Kansas City's a better team than Buffalo. But I will say this. I think Buffalo's good to really good at a lot of things around the on the field. I really think Buffalo's best chance in this is pretty simple. It's Josh Allen going out there and being great. It's him doing what he did against the Indianapolis Colts, where he had 340 passing yards and then gave you 50 rushing yards and also scored a touchdown. And their defense, which has been plus +7 as they started this little run since the game against the Arizona Cardinals, I really think that's what it is. I think it's Josh Allen going out there and being special.
Yeah, so then what? Let me ask it a different way. What's the biggest weakness on the Chiefs on Sunday?
I think it's probably their linebacker core, but for a team that doesn't really run the football very effectively, like, I would be a lot more worried about this game if Buffalo was really, if they were a two-dimensional football team. But they're not a two-dimensional football team. I would say their biggest weakness is probably if Rashad Breeland doesn't play, that you're going to be asking guys like Charvarius Ward, Sneed, Rashad Fenton, you're going to be asking those guys to cover one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL. Like, I don't want to come on here and sound overly cocky. I just think it's kind of simple. Like, I don't look at Kansas City and Buffalo as being equals. I don't really look at them as being on the same tier. I think Kansas City's just clearly better than Buffalo. I think Buffalo's had a really good season. I think they have had a tremendous year. I just think Kansas City's better than they are.
Listen, I frankly agree with you. I do think that it could be a very high-scoring game, and if a few weird, fluky football things happen, right, the Chiefs have to settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown or a tipped pass or a weird interception. Like, I think that that could be the thing that swings a high-scoring game, but I agree that the Chiefs are better. We'll get you out of here with this. Carrington Harrison, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Andy Reid's a Hall of Famer. Pat Mahomes is clearly tracking for that. There's no doubt about that. What would a second Super Bowl this early in their pairing mean in terms of big-picture legacy conversation?
I mean, it puts them in the conversation with Walsh and Montana and also Brady and Belichick. There's a stat that was circulating earlier this week that if Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, and obviously you got to win two more games, the only quarterback to have two rings in his first four seasons is Tom Brady, where I think you and I both probably look at the same. It's unlikely that Mahomes plays in 9 Super Bowls and wins 6. But it won't be crazy to think it just based on what Mahomes has done so far. I make this point on the show all the time. I don't think Mahomes is chasing Josh Allen or Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson or his contemporaries. He's chasing the ghost of Joe Montana and Tom Brady, where this start that he's gotten off to in the first 18 months, 24 months of his career, we're talking about how many Super Bowls is he going to win at the end. Like, he's at the place that LeBron James reached at, like, year 7. It comes down to, did you win MVP? Did your team make the championship? Did your team win the championship? I don't think anything else really matters to the legacy of Patrick Mahomes at this point.
Carrington Harrison, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Thank you.
So now we go from Kansas City to Tampa Bay.
Final kneel down of the game. Don't need to snap the ball again. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30, New Orleans Saints 20. Tom Brady's the man. The Bucs are the team. And we have defeated the New Orleans Saints, our nemesis, over the last 3 or 4 years.
Nick Wise joins us, WDAE in Tampa. Nick, very much appreciate your time. Vita Vea out, Antonio Brown out. Which injury matters more for the Bucs on Sunday?
I think the Antonio Brown injury is huge. Obviously, we're going to have to step it up and count on a couple young wide receivers. Tyler Johnson, the rookie, had a couple big catches against the Saints. He'll be big. And then keep your eye out on Scotty Miller. He's been great with the deep ball. He's connected with Tom Brady a few times this year. I think he's going to be a guy that really steps up to have a big game if the Bucs want to beat the Packers.
You know, the first time they blew him out, it was a weird game. It felt a little bit like an aberration, or does it? Like, what do you think is relevant from the first time these two teams play when the Bucs kind of handle the Packers?
Yeah, I don't see another blowout happening. You know, it's kind of like the first time or the second time that the Saints and the Bucs played. The Bucs lost 38-3, then they come back last weekend to beat them in the playoffs. And I'm kind of having that feeling this week. Like, I could see the Bucs going into Green Bay and losing that game, even though they blew them out last time. I think the tables and the story is the complete opposite of what happened from last weekend.
What's making you feel vulnerable about the Bucks?
I just think the story is too good to be true. You know, when you think about it, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when the Vikings went into Philadelphia a couple of years ago and they had the chance to play the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. You're getting all excited about the fact that you host the Super Bowl and you could be the first home team to do it. It kind of just feels like it's too good to be true, so I'm trying not to be overconfident. Obviously, the Antonio Brown news today is a little bit depressing, but that's just kind of where I'm sitting in this. I'm trying not to get my hopes up. You know, Bruce Arians said it's Super Bowl or bust this year. I'm not one of those people that believes it is Super Bowl or bust for the Buccaneers.
So how much of a dominant storyline is it? Not just that you could go to the Super Bowl in your first year with Tom Brady. Like, how much of the conversation around the team is, yo, you guys could play in a Super Bowl in this city?
I think these guys are professionals. I think that they are looking at it one game at a time. I'm sure it's in the back of their mind, but I'm sure Bruce Arians also has a team focused on this game this weekend, not necessarily the Super Bowl. I think it's more of the fans that are thinking about the dream of having their home team in the Super Bowl, not so much the players thinking about it.
What do you think as we talk to Nick Mize down there in WDAE, excuse me.
The WWE guy.
Yeah, exactly. It would be good. In Tampa Bay, like, I always am interested in this. Yeah, thank you. The biggest vulnerability, the weakness of Tampa at this point in the season.
It's the secondary. It's absolutely the secondary, and that's dangerous when you're going against a bad man in Aaron Rodgers. And the secondary definitely has some question marks. And Antoine Winfield Jr. had a questionable tag pop up today. I expect to see him playing in the secondary, but he did pop up questionable today, and that's got me a little bit of concern. But it's absolutely the pass defense. You know, they rank in the 20s. The pass rush is the number one pass rush in the league. But when it comes to the secondary, they're a little bit towards the bottom, and that's the biggest weakness. And Aaron Rodgers has a chance to definitely light them up this weekend.
Nick Wise, WDAE in Tampa. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, man. You too.
All right, there was our trip around all the teams. We did Buffalo with William Fichtner, the character actor. Green Bay with Leroy Butler. Then Carrington Harrison in Kansas City. And Nick Wise down in Tampa. Some more rumors on the NFL coaching search, and a name I frankly did not expect to see. This is a weird one. It's next on The Score.
John, he's calling from Braidwood. He's on The Score.
Hey, guys. I think you're putting the wrong emphasis on McCown's
It's
value.
McCown. It's not McCown.
Tag J.
Yeah.
You still got a legitimate backup in McCown.
But you don't
McCown!
Have
why do
you,
McCown! It's not McCown!
McCown.
No!
It's definitely worth getting angry over. Josh McCown. McCown, McCown, McCown.
Yo, do you know Dan Bernstein?
I've met him once or twice,
cool.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Ryan.
So, we had an issue with the phone line this morning when they were trying to get Ian Eagle on, and you would have thought that somebody walked into Dan's room and shot his son in the head.
Really?
That's how upset he was.
Who was he blaming?
I think he's just mad at the situation.
Okay.
From Jersey Shore.
You just look at old married couple making the same jokes, finishing each other's sentences. That can't feel good. I got to say, though, I'm actually... This newer, mellow, nicer, kinder, gentler Dan Bernstein still getting angry about that sort of thing, that pleases me.
Wait until he thinks Layla's a little more comfortable. Dan Bernstein will come back.
Okay, good. Good. I heard you on with them today, by the way.
Yeah, I talked a little bit.
Yeah.
I almost swore. You losers are so obsessed with fried chicken sandwich process.
No, we're not. We're obsessed with... words being applied based on their definition. You make a good spicy chicken sandwich. For you, a great cook, it's easy to make. But to suggest that it is easier than going through a drive-thru is ludicrous. And I liked how Dan was talking to you as if he was your lawyer, trying to break down the semantical argument of how you should have framed it instead of using easier today. It was highly entertaining. But you just, at some point, just take your losses. Concede a point. And move on. It's fine.
All right, man. Yeah, sounds good. Okay. For sure.
All right, for sure.
Is it just butter and milk?
People were saying that that should be our bet for Chiefs Bills. I could just drink some buttermilk.
I mean, that's kind of a reward.
Is it?
I don't think that's harsh enough.
Okay. Well, you said a handshake earlier, so I've at least come up with a term of the wager. What?
Interesting.
Yeah. So I could either you could make me chicken sandwiches, and then I could buy you chicken sandwiches.
But I don't want purchased chicken sandwiches. Danny, we've talked about this for a week now. I don't prefer purchased chicken sandwiches. That's not a reward for me.
I don't prefer made chicken sandwiches.
Yes, you do.
You know what I prefer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. I've now come up with something.
All right.
You've rejected it. So we have 2 hours and 8 minutes before I get bored of this and I forget all about it until Monday. So come up with the stakes. What should the stakes be of the bet?
Okay.
All right. You're going to take your time and you're going to come up with it. But Josh McCown apparently interviewed to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. In addition to Jim Caldwell, who I absolutely think deserves a chance to get back into the NFL as a head coach. But the idea of, sorry, I got distracted. A texter just said, imagine if Dan was on yesterday with Lonnie. It's true. And I normally have a quick trigger with that sort of thing.
Yeah, you do.
But I just can't.
You were very, very quickly triggered yesterday, I will say.
I can't. I don't handle it well, admittedly. But I'm not going to get mad at Dave Wanstead. He's a treasure.
Okay, so you're going to get mad at us because you can see us sitting here. It's not like we're in Naples messing with the phone line.
Down in Naples.
I wasn't mad at you guys. I was just angry at the situation.
Why were you angry at Shane? Because I think the way Shane handled it was the best possible way to do it.
Yeah.
You try to coach him through it on the air as opposed to calling him on the phone and he doesn't answer the phone because I'm doing the radio show. So why would he answer? So I think that was the most efficient way to try to get him to fix it.
Yeah, but I agree, Danny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously.
So there's no way. Oh, yeah. Obviously, you guys are agreeing with each other. There was no way to pot him down, not hear it on the air.
Why would I? It sounded like Robot Wani. Like, why would I do that?
We still wouldn't be able to communicate with
you
him.
You wouldn't be
just
able.
Just because we pot him down here doesn't mean that fixes his phone line.
Well, no, I figured you might be able to communicate with him off air in that scenario.
No, we
don't have that technology.
Danny talks often about his days as a producer. He must not have been a producer long enough.
No, right to the host track.
Yeah.
Well, when I did it, I was hosting, producing, running my own board. It was not good.
Okay. Yeah. Where?
Syracuse. It was not good. Not good. I could show you that studio one time. It's a closet. Really bad.
Danny on day one. I got your coffee, sir. Okay, cool. Thanks, Danny. You want to host Afternoon Drive? That was Danny's entire career.
But it was orange juice.
Yeah.
That's true.
Obviously.
Yeah. I'm not drinking it. I've actually kind of quit orange juice. Apparently, it has too much sugar.
Yeah, you're going to get the beatus.
Nothing's healthy. It's unbelievable. There's what is healthy to drink?
Water. Water's good.
That's it. That's apparently the only thing I'm allowed to drink.
There's no calories in bourbon.
Yeah, so I drink water and alcohol is basically what I drink.
Same.
These days. But I want something flavored.
Bourbon is flavored.
Would you say?
Bourbon's got good flavor to it.
Yeah, but I mean when I'm not trying to, you know,
have you had
breakfast.
That, Bernstein, speaking of him in the positives, he talks about it often. Have you had Spindrift yet?
No.
That, oh my gosh.
Really?
The Spindrift carbonated water, flavored water is unbelievable. There's no like aspartame in it to get rid of the calories and make it sweet. It's literally just carbonated water and real fruit. It's unreal.
Where can I, is this just like, is it like a Truly lemonade? Is it like a seltzer?
No, it's just water. It's non-alcoholic.
It's non-alcoholic.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
The lime one is out of this world.
Wow. All right. Say it one more time. One more free plug.
Spindrift.
I'm going to have to check that out. Thank you. I'm looking for a healthy drink that isn't, of course, my morning smoothie, which Shane, do you want me to tell you more about my smoothies?
Sure, man.
Okay. Yeah. So I have this.
Sorry, I accidentally turned your mic off. My bad.
I hate being back in studio. It's the Danny Parker Show on the Score.